Hello, welcome to another episode of Block Talk. I'm Chris Segura, and today I'm going to walk you through some new features we added to the Visual Studio Code extension, features that are meant to really help support and make it easy for developers to use the Azure Blockchain Data Manager feature that you saw in a previous episode of Block Talk. If you didn't see that previous episode of Block Talk talking about Blockchain Data Manager, I'll walk through some of the key features. I'll show you some of the online docs that sort of help get you up, ramped up and ready to use it. And then we'll jump into the Visual Studio Code extension to show you some of the things we've added there to support Blockchain Data Manager. All right, so let's go over here. Let me bring up, actually, rather than bringing up VS Code first, let me bring up a web browser. And let me just show you the docs page on docs.microsoft.com that talks a little bit about Blockchain Manager. Here you see the URL at the top. If you missed this for some reason, just search for Blockchain Data Manager in your favorite search engine, or go ahead and just go directly to the Azure Blockchain Service page, which is sort of the parent page of this page that you see on screen here. And anyway, if you go there, you see a whole bunch of details on what is the Blockchain Data Manager service, how does it work, what does it do. For this episode, really the key pieces to understand is what the Blockchain Data Manager does is monitor my transaction nodes, monitor my EVM, and in fact, what it really does is monitor a specific contract for changes. In a previous episode, you saw me use our Visual Studio Code extension to do something very similar, monitor the EVM, monitor a contract for changes, and use logic apps to publish those changes to something like a SQL database. Blockchain Data Manager does something very similar, but it does it in a far more flexible, far more generic way, where what Blockchain Data Manager does is monitor your contract for changes, monitor it for events, and it publishes those events to an event grid. And once you're in an Azure event grid, you can have a whole bunch of functions and services that monitor and look at event grid for changes, and then can do any downstream processing on that data. So you could just take events through Blockchain Data Manager, put them into event grid, and dump it into Cosmos DB, which is very similar to that SQL example I showed in a previous episode. You could have other logic apps do further processing and connect to things like SAP, Oracle, other databases. You can do really sort of any number of things once you have this process up and running. And again, I won't go through detail of how you get Blockchain Data Manager up and running, how you connect it. It's pretty well documented here. Lots of examples of how to set up Cosmos DB. What I do want to show you instead is some of the integrations we've put into the extension to support Blockchain Data Manager. This is an ongoing process. It's a new service. It's a new feature for Azure. We're working towards integrating that more deeply into the extension. But what we did today and what we've done so far and is available in the extension that you can get in the marketplace is we've made some changes to support Blockchain Data Manager in a way that makes it easier to get the ABI, easier to get other metadata for your smart contract into ABI, into the Blockchain Data Manager, sorry. And what those changes are, real quick, and I wanted to spend some time talking about it because it's a little confusing for devs. You need two key pieces of data to get into Blockchain Data Manager. One, you need the contract ABI. I think in a previous episode, we showed people what copy contract ABI does. If you right-click on the JSON metadata output once you compile a contract, then you right-click on that file, you get this contract ABI. If I copy or click on this, I copy this, you'll see that what happens here is we get the contract ABI directly copied into our cut and paste buffer. So if I do something here, you see I just control V, I get a whole bunch of information that is basically my contract ABI. We've had that for quite a while. I think most people have seen it. It's a great shortcut for developers to use because many tools, not just Azure tools, but many tools in the Ethereum development ecosystem require contract ABI. But there's another piece here that we added that is equally as important, but slightly more confusing, I think, for developers. That is the bytecode. You see down here as I right-click again on this JSON file and come down to this menu items, I have two bytecodes. It may not be apparent to all developers, but there are actually two steps to deploying a contract into the EVM. And those two steps require sort of two intermediate processes that generate two different types of bytecode. You see here we have this thing called the constructor bytecode, and you have this thing called the transaction bytecode. Now, the constructor bytecode is the bytecode that is generated when you first deploy the contract, and it includes things like the constructor arguments. It includes things like, let's go back to the contract we have here. It includes these sort of setup requirements that the constructor needs for the contract to get deployed onto the chain. But once a contract is deployed onto the chain, the constructor itself doesn't really exist, isn't accessible. So when you look at a constructor bytecode, it's all of that bytecode that's needed to get a contract up into the chain. It's not necessarily the bytecode that gets executed when you exercise a smart contract. That is that transaction bytecode. So what transaction bytecode really is the bytecode that represents the functions. So again, coming back to our Solidity file here, our smart contract, I have several functions, right? I have this send request function. I have the send response function. The only two functions in this, these are what exist on the chain. This is what get exercised. And when you look at Blockchain Data Manager, what Blockchain Data Manager really wants is these two pieces of data, the contract ABI and the transaction bytecode. So for developers interacting or using the Azure Blockchain Service and Blockchain Data Manager, when you're setting these up, you really want access to two things, the contract ABI, transaction bytecode. We've made it simple and easy to get access to these through the Visual Studio Code extension. Copy transaction bytecode. Tell me where it's deployed, or it'll ask me where it's deployed to. It will get the metadata that you need to take this. Again, this is just sort of a bunch of hex values that don't really mean anything necessarily to our viewers, but it does mean everything to anything that's trying to interact with your code on-chain directly through something like Blockchain Data Manager or indirectly through some other type of service. So being able to quickly access these really sort of is a nice benefit for developers, really sort of helps eliminate any sort of ambiguity in which bytecode you're trying to get access to. This is really just sort of the beginning of what we're trying to do here with integrating Blockchain Data Manager into the extension. At some point in the future, you'll see far deeper integrations into the extension, much very similar to what we do already for our Blockchain Data Service. So you can add services, create them through here, all sorts of CRUD style updates. Again, just a quick view of what we're doing in the Blockchain Visual Studio Code extension to support new features and new services like Blockchain Data Manager. For more information, keep watching us here on Channel 9 or follow us on Twitter at MSFT Blockchain. Thanks a lot.